Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, World Cup soccer is coming to Northern California, and believe it or not, airfares over the 4th of July are lower than last year. Those stories in the travel news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we'll tell you how to share your hotel points with others. Can you give someone a room? Generally, the answer is yes if you follow the rules.
8 men of color were removed from a flight at the Phoenix airport. Allegedly, one of them had a strong body odor. The men were not traveling together and didn't know each other. Ultimately, it was decided there was no odor problem. More on this almost unbelievable American Airlines story at 11:35.
Tips to protect your money while traveling, and a simple idea on how to get what you want from customer services travel reps. Heads up on our Odds and Ends segment coming up at 11:50.
An hour of information to make you a smarter traveler. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. Thanks for coming along on a rather hot and sweltery, it's going to be, a Saturday.
Speaking of hot and sweltery,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I spent with some Sports Leisure travelers a good part of the week in Chicago, where hot and sweltery would... You think it's going to be hot and sweltery today? You have no idea what all hot and sweltery is.
Yeah, a lot of humidity there in Chicago?
It was. It wasn't miserable, I have to be honest. Plus, think about it. Chicago is known as the...
Windy City.
Aha. So as long as the wind keeps blowing, even if it's a warm wind, it's better than no wind at all. And if the wind is coming off the lake, why, then you're in a little bit better shape, too. So... yes, we spent 3 days and nights watching the Giants play at Wrigley Field. They only won one of the three in a very exciting fashion, I might add. Wrigley Field is Wrigley Field is part of the personality of Chicago. I don't know if other than Fenway Park, I think in San Francisco in another 20 years they will talk about that ballpark being part of the personality of San Francisco because it overlooks the water. And it's a really well done facility. Wrigley, on the other hand, is one of the oldest ballparks in the country, and the Cubs have taken the area around Wrigley. It's now called Wrigleyville. So they've done a lot of work to try to create fan things and to make it comfortable for people. The one challenge with Wrigley is take public transportation if you can, and I'm not talking about Uber or Lyft. I'm talking about the train, because if you don't and you have to park, you're going to park 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 blocks from the airport, from the ballpark. And you're going to pay a lot of money to park. And the closer you get, the more money you're going to... You can pay $60 or $70 or $80 easily to park for a baseball game at Wrigley. So that's one of the downsides.
You know, I watched the games. It was fun to watch, knowing that you and your people were there. I would try to see if I could spot you and so forth, because it's not an enormous a park. It's very, very unique. And they had one camera angle. They showed it several times, and it was down the third baseline, and you could see this kind of the street, and you would see two-story apartment buildings or houses on the on the left-hand side, and on the very top you could see they had stands. So across the street, it looks like you could go up there and buy a ticket or whatever and sit in the stands and watch the game and not even be in the park. And my first thought was, are those for the people that live there, or does the ballpark control the seating of not even in the park stands?
Years ago, they were for the people that live there. Now, the Cubs own all but two of those buildings on the two blocks outside left and right field. And it's part of... You can buy a ticket. You can take a group there. They'll give you a buffet inside in what used to be the house part of the building. And then you can go up onto the roof and watch the ball game. Only thing is, no protection from the sun at all.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a downside. But yeah, something that's really unique to Wrigley is that you don't have to be inside the ballpark to watch the ball game.
Watch the game.
Another thing that's unique to Wrigley is Cub fans don't come to the game expecting to win. So they've only
sounds
had
like the old Kings fans from the olden days.
They've only had one championship in the one World Series championship in the last 100+ years. So they don't really expect to win. They just want to have a good time, and that permeates the entire experience. You know, at the end of the game, no matter who's won. The Cub fans are delirious if they've won, but if they didn't win, they still, you know, if it was a good ball game, why then they're happy. Concession prices at Wrigley, just as ridiculous as they are anywhere. $13 to $14 for a beer, $10 to $13 for a hot dog, depending on what kind of hot dog you want and where you buy it. Everything. If you go to the ballpark, take your you know, make sure your debit card has a lot of money on it ahead of time, because there is nothing cheap about a ballpark anymore. The toilet paper is still free, but that's about the only thing. Hey, I wanted to share a couple of things quickly here about Chicago in case you're planning a trip soon. Admittedly, our trip was kind of sports-oriented. The Chicago Sports Museum. I thought that was going to be a really cool place. Chicago has a lot of sports history. There is a Harry Carey's restaurant. There are 4 or 5 Harry Carey's now. Of course, Harry's been gone for a while, but the food at Harry Carey's is pretty good, not inexpensive. But there's one in the building with the Chicago Sports Museum. That would be your excuse for going. The Sports Museum, 30, 45 minutes would be plenty of time to go through it. I wasn't really all that impressed with it. But the fact that there's a Harry Carey's there, there's more stuff on the wall at Harry Carey's than there is interesting stuff in the Sports Museum, just my opinion. Route 66, place to eat there in town, Lou Mitchell's is the name of it. It's 101 years old. You have to go there. They do breakfast and lunch, but breakfast is what you want to do. The menu is huge. You get anything you want. Lou Mitchell's, downtown Chicago. Also, the Billy Goat Tavern. There are a few of these around town. We went to the original, which is downstairs, downtown. Quickly, the Billy Goat Tavern story is the guy who owned the tavern over 100 years ago went to a ball game, bought a box seat for his Billy Goat that he brought with him. The Cubs wouldn't let the goat into the stadium, even though into the ballpark, even though he had a ticket. I mean, imagine that. So he put a curse on the Cubs and said, until you let my goat in, you will never win a championship. This was in 1908. It's important to note that the Cubs didn't win another championship for over 100 years after that. So the Billy Goat Tavern is famous. It was made famous in old Saturday Night Live skits. Cheeseburger, John Belushi from the early days. But if you go to Chicago, you need to go to the Billy Goat Tavern. They do have a few things other than hamburgers. The burgers are kind of mediocre, but you have to go there. It's part of the Chicago baseball experience. And I'm done ranting and raving. There are other things I could talk about. But also, Chicago, I thought, was a really clean city. I'm used to San Francisco, a little bit of Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland. Because we've tried to be a little more human here on the West Coast and not throw, you know, homeless people into the water, or under the bus, literally, we have some problems that people in the Midwest don't necessarily have. Hopefully we'll all, maybe there's a compromise somewhere in the middle, but I thought Chicago was a really clean city. There were homeless people, just not very many of them. Think about Chicago, really hot in the summer, really cold in the winter if you were homeless. Would that really be your first choice? But anyways, I was impressed. I enjoyed Chicago. I'm an old Midwestern boy at heart because that's where my roots are, at least the first few years of my life. But it was fun to go and spend a little bit of time in Chicago and watch the Cubs at Wrigley Field.
And there you go. And now we don't have any time at all for the travel news. So, no, wait. Somewhere at the top of the Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with it...
Which is going to have to be quick here after Mark ranted and raved forever. Okay.
More Mark.
Yeah. We talked about World Cup soccer coming to Northern California. Why would that be a travel story if it's coming to Northern California? Well, you're going to have to go to San Francisco, Bay Area, to see it. There are going to be a half a dozen matches there. That's the only Northern California venue. There will also be matches played in Seattle and Los Angeles and Vancouver, Guadalajara and Mexico City and Monterey here on the West Coast. Also, there are a number of cities that are not cities that they're going to play in, but where the teams are going to be based in. So there's a whole list online, and if you are a soccer fan, why... I'm sure the tickets will not be cheap. But this is the list as of June the 12th. If you forgot your wallet and you're at the airport, increasingly more and more states are allowing you to use digital IDs at airport security. But we're not talking about a screenshot here. There's a process that you need to go through in order to. California is, where was my list here? How awful. But increasing number of states are allowing you to use an app to record your, to get your driver's license in there or your passport, whatever ID that you're using. So travelguysradio.com, there is a link to that. New Margaritaville Resort at South Lake Tahoe, just across the street from Harrah's there, so very convenient if you're going up to Tahoe. I have found Margaritaville Resorts to be all over the place in terms of quality. So when somebody goes up and stays at the one in South Lake Tahoe, the new one up there, drop us a note at travelguysradio.com with your review, and I'll share it on the air. Speaking of destinations, San Francisco is advertising that cold weather is an advantage. They are placing ads all over the country that say, if it's too hot where you are, basically, come to San Francisco in the summer. It will be cooler there. I have always wondered why they didn't do that, because I was just in Chicago for 3 or 4 days, and trust me, a couple, 3 weeks of that, you would be begging for a new place that you could go and cool off a little bit. We've talked on this program about the new laws that are taking effect in just a couple of weeks, the first of the month, that change the way that travel is advertised to you. Cruise lines, Holland America has decided that they're going to change the way they advertise all over the country. The basis of this is so that you will know when you log on and you see the first screen and you see a price, that price will hypothetically include everything that you need to buy that product. Perhaps not some optional things, but everything, all the taxes, all the fees, all the things that were not listed in the price that you have to pay for in order to get that product, whether it's a hotel room or a cruise or a ticket or whatever it is. So hotels are going to be part of that. And they are now talking about how they are going to rearrange the way that they do business, the way they advertise to people. This is really a good thing. I mean, with all of these junk fees and stuff, this is the first time that consumers have really, in an organized fashion, pushed back. So it's a reason I'm glad I live in California. Airfares are falling for the 4th of July. Average price of a ticket is down 12% over last year. For international flights, 16%. For domestic tickets, so that's good news, because if flights are down a little cheaper over the holidays, good bet they'll be a little cheaper afterwards. Marriott, Bonvoy, and Starbucks have teamed up to help members boost their rewards, including free coffee. Before you get all freaked out if you're a Marriott or a Starbucks rewards member or Bonvoy Marriott on Marriott, the rewards are rather modest. I took a look at them online. They are rather modest. This is, of course, many Marriott hotels have Starbucks facilities in their lobby. Mm-hmm. So this is just an effort, I think, to get people to spend more money in the hotel. And also, you know, if you want a free cup of coffee every once in a while or a Frappuccino, why, there may be a way to do that here. And finally, from Hawaii comes the news that statewide hotel occupancy fell again this year, 71.2%. For the first 5 months of the year, this is down about 1% from the previous year. Also, the average daily room rate has dropped about 1%, which, since inflation is continuing at 3% to 4%, a 1% drop is really about a 4% or 5% saving. I will say the hotel that I have used for groups on Maui in recent years has called me a couple of times in recent weeks trying to get me to book group business there. The challenge, and be careful, if you're going to Maui, hotel rates are down, but one of the reasons they're down is because there aren't as many things to do as there used to be on Maui before the big wildfire. So if you're a person who goes and the hotel is your place and you just want to lay by the pool and go to the luau and walk next door to the shops or something like that, you're probably in good shape. If you had a lot of activities that you did on the island, you're going to want to do your homework before you go so that you'll know for sure that the things that you like to do are still there. The whole island didn't burn, just a good part of downtown Lahaina, but many attractions and the like either went out of business or set their business aside for a while because there weren't as many visitors coming. So bad news for Hawaii, a few fewer visitors. Perhaps some people in Hawaii are happy about that. Good news for us is that airfares and hotel rates are dropping slightly, and that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Check us out at travelguysradio.com. Hey, if you're looking for lobster but can't find any place that's still open, well, Rudy's Hideaway has been doing lobster right since 1970. Your local family-owned lobster house is also known for Alaskan king crab, Icelandic salmon, Alaskan halibut, USDA choice hand-cut steaks, and award-winning Boston clam chowder. Rudy's Hideaway is also one of the last restaurants in town serving what we call a complete dinners. Remember those with soup or salad, baked potato, fresh vegetable, and sourdough bread. So they're open for dinner 7 nights a week and lunch Tuesday through Friday. Don't forget to ask for the Travel Guy special 6-ounce lobster tail for only $29.95. Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, easy to find right off of Highway 50. Don't forget travelguysradio.com. If you happen to miss one of our shows, you can catch us on the podcasts there as well as at iHeartRadio. A week or so ago when I took a little out-of-town trip, I noticed as I was leaving people looking for their cars at the airport. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the old Arco Arena losing my car for about 2 hours. I had to wait until everybody had left I could figure out. I went out the wrong side of the building. So, with that being said, Mark, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Losing your car at the airport.
At the airport. How interesting. I got home on, Wednesday night, and we were delayed. And by the time all of our people, if you travel Sports Leisure Vacations, you're picked up at your home, and then you're returned by home with a shared car service. Limo service, the folks at Coastal Breeze take care of that for us. So once everybody had gone, and I had to park way in the hinterlands on the ground lot, and I didn't take the shuttle bus. I walked all the way out there. It took me about 20 minutes to get out there. And out there and realized that, where I thought I had left my car was not where I had left my car, apparently. And I had said to myself, you're in 21H, and when I got out to 21H, there was no car. Turned out, at the bottom line at the end of the day, was I was one line over, and when I'd come up the aisle, I'd written down on my ticket the wrong row number. Mm-hmm. So I didn't look in the row where the car was. After about 20 minutes of looking around in the middle of the night, and a sheriff came out in a bicycle and wondered what I was doing, and he said, "Can I help you?" I'm sure I wasn't the first person he'd seen that way. And so anyway, the bottom line is that there's a way to find your car at the airport if you've lost it. And then Tom is going to has a hint for how not to lose it that's better than mine. Go to the airport's website, and there's a parking tab there. So under the parking tab, there's a couple of choices. Click on information. The next screen that you get, the second tab down, is dead batteries / lost cars. And a click gives you the phone number to call there at the airport. And if you know your license number, or you know the credit card number that you use to get into the airport parking lot, they can tell you the section your vehicle is parked in. And of course, you took that ticket and you put it in a special place in your wallet or your purse or your briefcase where you always put the parking ticket at the airport, because that's the other thing that you sort of need to get out. They can help you with that too if you get up there and you can't find the parking ticket. If you, again, with the credit card, they can tell you what you owe. But the most important thing here is, if you get stuck at the airport and you don't know where your vehicle is, get on the website, go to the parking tab, and you can get a phone number so that you can call them, and they will tell you. Literally, my car was 50 feet from where I was standing, and within a minute I was on my way out of the airport. But you, Mr. Romano, had a better idea than writing the number down on the ticket, I thought.
Yeah, well, this seems kind of obvious to me anyway, because I don't have a pen and I don't have a very good memory. I get out my cell phone and I take a picture of the sign that says, you know, 21B or 16H. So I know what the row is and so forth. And sometimes I'll even take a couple of other snapshots so that it kind of hone it in. But, you know, unless you lose your phone while you're on vacation, you got a way to find it. But you made a point that I need to pay attention to. I usually will take that ticket and I'll leave it on the dashboard of my car. So if I needed it to, help find my car, I wouldn't have it with me. It was in the wrong place.
And the other thing is that if you inadvertently left your car unlocked or something like that, and the ticket was on the dashboard, then you might come back and find out that you didn't have a car.
Yeah,
that has happened before. So if you leave your ticket in your car, just don't leave it in view. You know, leave it someplace where you know, or like you said, better yet, put it in your wallet. So you're one for two there, Romano. But I'm the guy who had to, call the parking people to get my car the other night, and I'm the travel guy. So, so there you go. Hey, quickly here, I also wanted to talk about how you can, if you're a member of a frequent points award for a hotel chain, Marriott, Choice, Hyatt, Holiday Inn, which is IHG, Intercontinental Hotel Group. Who did I forget there? Hilton. All of them allow you in various ways to gift someone a room or gift them points. With Hilton, they need to have a Hilton Honors points, Hilton Honors account. They can just transfer the points. But anyway, if you wish to give someone points, there's a legal way to do it. Make sure you do that by going to the website of your hotel chain and following the rules so you don't do something wrong and lose all of your points. That's sort of a capsulized version of what we were going to talk about there.
Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, a locally sourced radio program. Live most every Saturday between 11 and 12, and that's where we are right now. Okay, Mark, let's move on to this. What's the latest on the American Airlines story that we talked about a week or so ago?
Yeah, we did. This happened in January on an American Airlines flight that was flying from Phoenix to JFK Airport, and it involved 8 men of color. All of the details have not come out yet. I suspect that when we get to court proceedings that we will hear some more about this. But the hearsay is that an American Airlines, a flight attendant on the flight, detected a strong body odor walking through the cabin and decided that it belonged to a particular passenger, an African-American passenger. Then what ensued was that they asked 8 passengers to leave the aircraft. Coincidentally, they were all black men. There were only 8 black men on the plane. So every black man was asked to get off the aircraft, to get their things and their belongings and get off the aircraft. These guys were not traveling together. They didn't know each other. They weren't seated together. So, you know, I mean, I've probably lots of people listening have had this happen to them before. You get on an airplane and there's a bad odor. You know, somebody has wrapped the dead fish and brought it in their carry-on and there it is. Or somebody who doesn't have the same hygiene habits as you or comes from a country that doesn't have the same hygiene practices as we do here in the United States. Those things happen. You can also sit down on an airplane and have a screaming baby behind you for 3 or 4 hours. It's part of travel. But in this case, if you could identify the person who smelled bad and take them off the aircraft and help them take care of that problem, get them on another plane, why, that would be a very human thing to do. That's not the way American Airlines approached this. They took the guys off the plane. There is video of, I've seen it, of one of the gentlemen asking the gate agent at the gate after they've been taken off the plane whether or not they were removed because of the color of their skin. The gate agent answers correct. It's important to note the gate agent is also a lady of color. She's not in agreement with what's happening, but she's the employee and she's trying to facilitate some of this. They take the guys off the airplane. There's a delay of what is said to be the better part of an hour. And because they're going to rebook these guys after they've taken all of them off the plane on another flight, apparently. There is no other flight available, so now they decide they're going to, after some time, they're going to put them back on the plane. Imagine being removed from a plane, you're part of a group of eight people, and they come and take you all off the plane. You're all seated together or something like that. Nobody knows what's going on. A long time goes by. People on the plane are wondering, why are we sitting here? Now, all of a sudden, you're let back on the plane. Imagine if you were a little different looking than everyone else, like by the color of your skin or something like that, and now you're put back on the airplane. Now people are really wondering what in the world is going on in the air. Imagine how embarrassed those people must have felt getting back on the airplane. Not to mention the fact that American Airlines has held up this flight for the better part of an hour, probably with 150 or so people on the aircraft. And I don't know. We don't know what they told the people on the plane, if they told them anything. But ultimately, they decided to put these people back on the aircraft. This happened in January. We reported on something that happened in early May. Same airline. Two Hasidic Jewish people, men, got on the plane. One kept asking the same question, same safety question, of several different flight attendants and people at the gate and stuff. And so they were getting kind of nervous about this gentleman and why he was asking this question. Probably a fair reason to question someone a little bit further. They took him off the airplane. There was a second Jewish man on the plane, Hasidic Jew, who was not seated with the man or traveling with the guy, and they took him off the plane too. So the fact that this has happened twice and it's both American Airlines, I don't know. Maybe it happens on other aircraft too. Certainly people are asked to leave an aircraft for a variety of security or personal reasons. Those are not always divulged to passengers. I don't fly American Airlines. I don't belong to their frequent traveler program. I used to fly them a lot. Many years ago, I kind of moved over to United and an old airline called TWA, which isn't here anymore. But just found my travel needs taken care of there. So I don't send my passengers on American Airlines. They haven't had a particularly good customer service reputation the last few years among the major carriers. So usually we can avoid them. I guess if it was the only option, I might consider it or might have considered it before this. As the owner of a tour company that spends $500,000 a year on airfare, the fact that American doesn't get any of that money and isn't likely to anytime soon would be an indicator. If I were an American Airlines customer and I was not the same as everybody else, a white Caucasian person getting on the aircraft who didn't have funny colored hair or anything else that made them look different from other people, then I'd probably be okay. But if I were a little different, I'd be wondering if I might be American Airlines' next victim. This would make me very unsettled. It's just strictly my opinion, but the fact that this has happened more than once, the CEO, to his credit, came out and apologized profusely. Said, you know, all of the right things. This is not part of our culture, and we're going to find out what happened here. And there's a whole list of things that American is going to do. They're going to establish a new oversight and excellence advisory group with a focus on improving travel experience for black customers. We will strengthen the oversight and reporting mechanisms by reviewing internal reporting processes. We will reevaluate policies, practices, blah, 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 blah. There are four paragraphs of it, of things that American will do. And once you've gotten past the first paragraph, you say, this sounds like corporate gobbledygook. You guys got caught with your pants down, and now you're desperately trying to pull them back up. We'll see. We'll see. If American really, truly steps forward and does some things, then the other question becomes, is this an American Airlines issue? Or is this an issue throughout all of the carriers, and it just happens that American got busted a couple of times recently? But I think this is just despicable. There had to be a better way to handle this situation. And the fact they got the guys off the aircraft and couldn't identify the problem kind of sort of makes this, if you'll excuse the saying, smell even worse. Because somebody thought something that wasn't correct, applied it to a whole group of people, and then they embarrassed the hell out of those people. I just don't. I'm going to suggest to you that some of those gentlemen are going to own a piece of an airline before this is all over, and good for them, because three of them have filed a lawsuit. I can't imagine that the others won't follow. I think American Airlines has to do a little bit more than just have the CEO out, come out, and in a bunch of corporate gobbledygook say we're going to look into this. Dude, you need to follow up on this, and you need to be a little bit more forthcoming. I'd love to see you on a cable news station and do an extensive interview, and I'd love to hear about I'd love to hear from other American Airlines employees, because the lady in the jetway, when the men got off the airplane and questioned if they were being removed for the color of their skin, and she said correct, there's more to this. Why did she say correct? Has she seen this happen again? Does she know that this is part of the way the airline does business? I question all of this. So if I were an American Airlines customer, I would question it more. Yes, sir.
Unbelievable. I mean, you listen to this story, and you know, it sounds like something that's made up.
Yes,
this couldn't be accurate information. This couldn't have really happened and come together as it did, because it is so embarrassing for the airlines. And like you pointed out, you know, besides removing them, which was bad enough, then after a while, an hour, putting them back on the plane. I mean, can you imagine how you would felt to be once taken off, then asked to go back on the plane, and everybody's looking at you. You know, there's only one way back to your seat. Anyhow, that would be really interesting, but it was something that would be impossible probably for us to find, and that is to actually talk to anybody that was on that plane, and certainly any of those gentlemen that were involved in this. So it'll all come out in the wash sooner or later. So
it will. There was a passenger list, so there is a record of who was on that aircraft, and so this is. I would really hope that American Airlines would step up to these people and say, look, you know, what does it take to make within reason to make this right? And because we really truly are sorry, we don't want to be dragged through the mud for a long time on this. We want to make this right for you right now, and we're going to do better. And maybe you eight gentlemen would be interested in helping us be better. Or you two Jewish men would be interested in helping us be better, and helping us identify, you know, where our weaknesses are. And like I said, this is not a free pass for all of the other people. American got caught. I'd like to think that this doesn't happen on other carriers, but I don't know that for sure. So, anyways, we will keep an eye on it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, if you've either had an experience like this or saw something like this and would like to share it with us, go to travelguysradio.com and leave us a comment. Would love to hear more. Hopefully we won't. Perhaps it's a super isolated case. Oh, Mark, everybody that listened to this show knows, you're a big baseball fan, always have been. Take your sports leisure vacationers to baseball trips and such. The loss of Willie Mays this past week at the age of 93, and you know, followed closely behind by what was already scheduled, the ball game at Birmingham, Alabama, where Willie Mays first played his first professional baseball in the city he grew up, was pretty moving. I'm just curious as to you know, some comments from you. You saw Willie at one point, did you not?
I did. I watched Willie play. Ironically, when I was a kid and Willie was playing, I was a St. Louis Cardinal fan first and hated the Giants. So this makes what I'm about to say even more objective, which is Willie Mays was the one player. Maury Wills was kind of sort of like this. Lou Brock a little bit with the Cardinals. But Willie was a five-tool player, and he could change. He could not only steal a base, he could steal a run, he could steal a ball game from you. He was the single most powerful force on a baseball field, and I think all the people who played with him and against him knew it. And not only that, he was an incredibly great guy. And, of course, he came up in a time when black players were just making their mark in the major leagues. And things in the majors and the minors and the Birmingham Barons, black Barons who played in that ballpark where Willie played in the Negro Leagues, and the like. Things were very different back then. I thought Fox Sports did a terrific job of telling the story of the Negro Leagues and of Willie Mays and the people that they had on. I have to be careful here. I'm going to lose it. I really, really, really thought that that was just an incredible salute. It's too bad that he couldn't have been there to see it. But it was wonderful that they brought back some of the old-timers from the Negro Leagues, most of them in those that 90s or 100s age category. What an incredible – baseball does those things better than any other sport. And, you know, they did the Field of Dreams game a couple of years ago. I just thought this was – it was just amazing. I can't wait to get to that ballpark.
You know, I thought for sure when you left Chicago, you were going to find some way to sneak over there and catch that game. You know, the broadcast that Fox had pregame, they had our buddy Reggie Jackson from the Oakland A's on, and he spoke. And
he was
absolutely terrific, and he did not sugarcoat anything. He expressed his opinion how things were. And a lot about how things still are, and it's all very eye opening. And at any rate, if there's a way for you to go back and catch it, I would recommend that you do. All right, and you know,
what, can I throw in one more thing here about Reggie before we move on?
Yeah.
This is a travel show, not a sports show, after all. But Reggie Jackson, when he played for the A's and afterwards, I always kind of looked at him as kind of an egotistical, pompous ass. You know, I mean, that was kind of what he projected. But, you know, when he on television the other night, that was, you talk about television worth watching or listening to. I thought what he had to say wasn't, as you said, he didn't sugarcoat it. I mean, he laid it right out there. And I'm not sure that that was exactly what they expected to hear from him. But it made the whole evening, I thought.
Anyway. Yeah, and they chose to just let it be.
Yeah, they let him go. They let him keep going, and that was perhaps the most educational part of the whole hour and a half pregame and all the stuff they did during the game in London.
Okay, we are the Travel Guys, and now tips to make you a smarter traveler and help protect your money when you travel. Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, these are some of these you have heard us pontificate on before. These came from our road reporter, Steve LaRosa, by way of Clark Howard, who is a guy who, he's a money guy, you know, to help you spend your money the right ways, protect your money. So these are some of Clark Howard's tips to protect your money when you're traveling. He says, never buy travel insurance from the person who sold you the trip.
Mm-hmm.
The airline at its website, the cruise line at its website, the tour operator at its website, never, ever, ever buy that travel insurance because those people are in bed together, which is kind of ironic. And the only one here I'm going to disagree with, at my company, Sports Leisure Vacations, the company that underwrites our domestic travel insurance that we sell for the U.S. and Canada, we have a deal with them that is literally the day that a refund is approved, we can issue a refund check from our company. People don't have to wait from theirs. So in our case, perhaps an exception to what he's saying there, but I absolutely agree with what he's saying. Be careful about buying travel insurance from the people you bought the product from because mm-hmm. they're probably getting commission. There might be a better deal or, better yet, better coverage somewhere else. Never pay an advance deposit with cash or a debit card when you're traveling. You want to use a credit card.
Right.
You want there to be mm-hmm. a paper trail for everything that you did. So try to resist, even if there's a little bit of a charge for paying with a credit card, 3%. I know it can be tempting on a big ticket item to try to avoid that by using a debit card. I wouldn't recommend it. I agree with Mr. Howard that you should consider using a credit card so there is a paper trail. Never check your prescription drugs when you're flying. Always put your stuff in your carry-on bags. Another tip he doesn't have here, always take 3 days more medication than you need. That way, when your flight gets canceled and you can't get home, you don't have an additional problem of trying to get that med that you're going to fall over in the airport if you don't get it. So always take 3 days extra with you. And if you're, you know, while you're out there on the road, make sure that stuff is in your carry-on. So if you forget and your pill bottle ends up in your checked bag or something like that, you've always got 2 days emergency meds with you. Never exchange money at an airport. If you was listening to this program, you know that one of your travel guys got caught in this trap recently, thinking, oh, well, this is at the airport. Surely the rate must be good here. Eh, not so much. Never use the travel, the money exchange, foreign currency exchange inside an airport. It will be the worst rate that you will get anywhere in town. And this one is really, I thought this is common sense if you think about it. Never talk rudely to customer service. These are the people who can help you. No matter how angry you are, or how upset you are, or how unfair you think you've been treated, set it aside, put on your happy face, and figure out a way to talk to customer service and say, you know, something has happened to me. I really don't think this is fair. I really need your help. Can you tell me how this is supposed, is this correct? How is this supposed to happen? If you can do that, your chances of getting help, as Mr. Howard says here, probably double or triple. If you get on the phone or online and you spill your guts and tell them what a terrible company they are, and the other thing you never want to do, as he points out, never tell them, no matter how this comes out, I'm never doing business with you again. You want the company to think that if they do right by you now, they mm-hmm. can salvage you as a customer. So save that little, I'm never going to travel, do business with you again, until after you've got a resolution, and then you can unload on them and tell them whatever you want. You've got social media, so you can go out and carve any travel supplier that you want a new one anytime you want to.
Well, you know, that's great advice, and I need to park that and calm myself down. I visited a restaurant that serves spaghetti. Their name starts with the word spaghetti. Uh-huh. And we went in and we got seated kind of in the back area. And fortunately, I was watching a Giants baseball game on my phone. And 30 minutes later, no one had come to check on us. So we finally says, you know what? Let's just go. So we got up and we walked out. And nobody even noticed that we left. And I thought, well, okay, I am really PO'd. What am I going to do? Boy, I'm just going to... And then over time here, I'm starting to, and listening to you, I'm going to take a different approach on this one. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, never scream at the only person who can help you. That's kind of the deal.
Yeah, there you go. Good advice. Well, all right. I think we're just about to the end of another Travel Guys Radio program. You can catch it on the flip-flop at travelguysradio.com.
Next week, Chris Elliott is going to join us. He's going to talk. He wrote an interesting article this week about how American travelers get profiled on the road and how that might not be good for you. So we're going to talk to Chris about that next week. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Thanks for coming along for the hour, my friends. See you next week right here on the Travel Guys.